It's time for our weekly review of the state news with news guy Noah Ovshinsky.
The state of Wisconsin made national headlines this week when the Dane County District Attorney decided not to press charges against the police officer who shot and killed Tony Robinson.
In the world of politics, it looks like the state may see a rematch next year in the race for the U.S. Senate.
Also, the state's Joint Finance Committee has been busy this week as it continues to make decisions on key budget items.
We'll cover those stories and more right now with WPR's Assistant News Director Noah Ovshinsky. Noah, welcome back.
It is good to be here, Veronica, and as always, happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you. And we will begin with probably the biggest story this week out of Wisconsin, the decision in the shooting of Tony Robinson. What happened?
Yeah, so the DA in Dane County announced on Tuesday that he would not charge Officer Matt Kenny in the shooting death of 19-year-old Tony Robinson. His death sparked protests in the last few months, and to say, you know, that many, many people were waiting for this announcement would be an understatement.
The DA had announced on Sunday that he was going to give that announcement. It came on Tuesday. And what did he say?
So the DA spent part of the news conference sort of setting the table, more or less, for his decision. He laid out the facts as he knows them or those that were reported to him. And he discussed how he himself had a lot in common with Tony Robinson, a product of a biracial marriage, and that he, too, faced racial discrimination throughout his life. DA Ozan says what he called this tragic and unfortunate death was a result of the lawful use of deadly force.
And to come to that conclusion, Ozan had to look at the evidence. What did he come away with saying happened that day?
Right. So Robinson and Kenny's paths crossed when the officer went to investigate reports that Robinson was assaulting people and acting erratically. At an apartment on Madison's Near East Side, there was a confrontation. And according to Kenny, he shot Robinson because he feared that he would be knocked down the stairs and his gun taken away from him. Kenny says Robinson hit him when he went up to investigate.
And what was that response in the community in Wisconsin to this announcement?
So there was a rally on Tuesday immediately following the announcement, and then more protests yesterday, or rather Wednesday. The participants were, you know, angry but peaceful. People who have been protesting Robinson's killing argue that, among other things, that Robinson's death was the result of racial disparities that exist in our justice system, you know, as well as society at large.
And this does not look to be the end of the story. What do we know about what could happen next?
Right. So Tony Robinson's mother says she doesn't believe what the police say happened, in particular in the moments that were not captured by Kenny's squad car camera. And she says she plans to sue to find out that information. The Madison Police Department is also conducting its own internal investigation into whether or not Kenny followed procedures, followed the proper procedure. And the results of that investigation should be released in the next week or so.
Okay, so police department results released in only a week or so.
Yeah, it could be as much as 2 weeks, but as early as another week from now.
Okay, we'll be watching for that. And we'll move on talking about some state budget news. The Joint Finance Committee has been very busy. What happened this week?
Right, so the JFC met twice this week to go over Scott Walker's proposed budget. Yesterday, the committee voted to go along with the governor's plan to cut the amount of time somebody can receive W-2 benefits by 1 year. So right now, it's 5 years. They voted to cut that down to 4 years. W-2 is essentially what replaced traditional welfare here in Wisconsin.
And they did depart with the governor on one big change, didn't they?
Yeah. Yesterday, JFC leaders said they would actually reject governor's overhaul of long-term care programs in Wisconsin. This was somewhat a rare point of departure. Walker wanted to end what's called the IRIS program, which allows people with disabilities to hire family members to take care of them, and replace it with a system that utilizes private insurers. JFC leaders did say they would direct the Department of Health Services to draw up a more limited plan that could end up saving money in the future. But at the end of the day, they decided to part ways with the governor on this issue.
And there had been a lot of discussion about that IRIS program. So it's interesting to see how that's playing out so far.
Yeah, it came up a lot during the community meetings that happened around the state.
And what else did they do this week?
The JFC partially restored some of the cuts that were proposed for the ECB, which is an entity that, among other things, helps run WPR and WPT. While the cut was reduced roughly by half, Hudson Republican Dean Knutson noted WPR and WPT needed to increase funding and that state support should be more in line with other states. Democrats during the debate argued that public broadcasting would not be able to make up for those cuts through fundraising alone.
And when does the Joint Finance Committee meet again, and what are we expecting them to take up next?
They meet on Tuesday, I believe, and they are scheduled to take up education-related items, including the proposed cut to K-12, the Department of Corrections, and a few other odds and ends.
So a lot more big stuff on the table still to get through.
Yeah, several more weeks.
We're talking right now with WPR Assistant News Director Noah Ovshinsky. We're getting our state roundup of the top stories of the week, and we're going to wrap up with former Senator Russ Feingold wanting not to be former senator anymore in 2016.
People tell me all the time that our politics in Washington are broken and that multimillionaires, billionaires, and big corporations are calling all the shots. They especially say this about the U.S. Senate, and it's hard not to agree. But what are we going to do? Get rid of the Senate? Actually, no one I've listened to says we should throw in the towel and give up. And I don't think that either. Instead, let's fight together for change. That means helping to bring back to the U.S. Senate strong independence, bipartisanship, and honesty. So today, I'm pleased to announce that I'm planning to run for the United States Senate in 2016.
Russ Feingold announcing via YouTube video that he is officially running for his old seat in the Senate, and as been noted in the last few days, this sets up a rematch between he and Ron Johnson. And as you might remember, Johnson rode the Tea Party wave in 2010 and beat Feingold, who was at the time completing his third term.
It's interesting. Another announcement via YouTube. Hillary Clinton made her announcement via YouTube, too. Seems to be certainly a new way that people are doing this.
Yeah, we're seeing it more and more.
And what was the response from Ron Johnson?
He attacked Feingold for building Washington into what he called, quote, a gigantic, debt-ridden, tax-eating, unresponsive, and freedom-squashing government. So, again, Ron Johnson seizing on, Feingold's original role in the Senate and sort of looking back as a way of looking forward with this campaign that's going to be unfolding here in the next months.
And judging from the news today, it sounds as though Senator Ron Johnson did see this coming, says he didn't expect it to happen so soon, though, the announcement.
Yeah, it's, you know, I think Feingold faces, a few challenges, also maybe a few advantages going into this election. It's too early to say for sure, but, money is going to be an issue in this campaign, and both candidates are going to have to raise a lot of money. Now, Feingold has disavowed super PACs and sort of so-called dark money in the past, and this is at a time when the cost of these campaigns have skyrocketed. So it'll be interesting to see how he navigates that. On the plus column for Feingold is the timing of this election. Unlike the last election in 2010, this one will take place in a presidential year when Democratic turnout is typically higher than it usually is. That will certainly help Feingold.
And how big a deal is this race shaping up to be nationally?
Big. There are going to be a lot of eyes looking at this race in Wisconsin. Democrats will need to pick up five more seats in order to retake control of the Senate. And this one, I think by most analysts, this one is considered a toss-up. So a lot of money and a lot of attention will be put on this campaign here in the next year.
Great. We'll be watching that one, too. Noah, thank you so much for joining us.
It was good to be here. Thanks, Veronica.
That was Noah Ovshinsky, WPR's Assistant News Director, helping us cover the biggest stories from around the state this week for our Wisconsin News Roundup.